to another episode of the Portable Magic Dispenser, a podcast for your school library, public library, whatever kind of library you operate. My name is Lucas Maxwell. I'm the librarian at a high school in South London, UK. I've been here 10 years now. It's my 10th year. Cannot believe it. Can't believe I'm still here, to be honest. Not in the school, but on the planet. That's just a dark joke, but I am happy to be here. And today I'm going to talk about, let's jump right past that, going to jump into top tips for running school library lessons. Okay, top tips for running school library lessons. I recently was reached out by a really cool charity called Read for Good, and I discussed these tips for different library lessons, and I'm happy to share them. So hopefully they're useful. At the school here, Glenthorne, where I work, I manage a library where students ages 11 to 13 come in the library every 2 weeks for a timetabled library lesson with their English teacher, and I'm pretty fortunate that I can lead those lessons and kind of shape them in this way that I feel would benefit the students in a fun way. So these are things that have worked well for me, so I'm not saying they're going to work well for you, and I don't know how it'll work for you, so you're going to have to twist it and tweak it to your own school and your own students. There's no magic bullet for these things. There's no one size fits all. But I hope, you know, I hope they're useful. First one is reading aloud. And I've talked about this before, but I pretty much read aloud almost every library lesson to ages 11 to 13. And there is this kind of unspoken stereotype that when students go to secondary school, they or high school, that they don't enjoy being read to aloud, and it's false, as far as I can tell. I don't think that every student should be made to read aloud. If that makes them feel uncomfortable or embarrassed or anything like that, but being read to is a completely different thing. I love reading out loud. I like to read opening passages that are scary, usually, or thrilling. I do it to try to get them hooked on a story. And I know I spend 15 or so minutes, we spend as a group reading. That's the other thing, is that making sure that they see me reading. When we do like a little bit of silent reading. And I try to make sure that everybody's seeing me read, and also I'm reading aloud. I try to take about, 4 or 5 minutes of those 20 minutes reading aloud. It's not long, but it kind of like sets the tone of the lesson and hopefully gets them engaged. And it's a simple way to bring, you know, a book to life and let the students kind of step into someone else's shoes. So I've had a lot of luck with Crater Lake by Jennifer Killick. I can't promote that one enough. First chapter of that is really cool, pretty dark, where they think they've hit someone with a school bus, but the guy is just full of blood and screaming about the camp. The Book of Secrets by Alex Dunn, I've read the openings to that, which is pretty dark and creepy as well, so I'd recommend that one. Really great books. And Rules for Vampires by Alex Fowkes, can't recommend that one enough. So yeah, there's lots and lots of great opening books you could find, but I would recommend reading aloud as much as you can. So the next one I'm going to talk about is like comic books and manga. Now, the fact that I have hundreds of manga and comic books on the shelves is related to the number of students who come to the library to stay. I have a dedicated manga and comic book shelving area with a beanbag in front of the manga area, and it is It's like a some sort of it looks like some sort of sit-in. It looks like some sort of sit-in peaceful protest they're doing. They're just sitting on the floors. They are surrounding it like it's some sort of sacred obelisk or something. And it's an amazing thing to see every morning, every break, every lunch, every day. They are coming here to stay because of that. And I like to see that the shelves are messy with manga and comics. It means that they're actually thumbing through and giving them to the friends, showing them off. I don't want to see neat shelves. I don't like seeing neat shelves. It tells me that they aren't looking at the shelves. They're, I want to see them giving them to their friends and yelling at them to come over and check these books out. I want to see them excited. That's something we don't really think about, or I don't, maybe all the time, is getting them excited about reading. And you can do that with comics and manga, 100%. There's this huge stigma around comic books from, parents and teachers, that they are viewed as some sort of lesser form of literacy. I don't really understand where that originated from. I'm sure you could, some researcher much smarter than me can go back in time and go back in time. What am I trying to say? Go research, do some research. And I'm a busy man, so I'm not researching it, and find out why people hate comic books. But it's a silly thing. It's a I think it's snobbery. I think it's specifically out of the UK. I think it's a very snobby kind of viewpoint on it. But comic books often hold much more complex vocabulary than a standard novel, and they engage readers in really unique ways that keep them coming back for more. It's really great. So, and they your library should be filled with them. Promoting them to staff, I guess, you can kind of like slowly turn the tide of this popular opinion that they aren't real books. I love talking about comic books and doing library lessons around these, around comic books and manga. We have a manga club, which is hugely popular. It's really good. So a comic book that I've been getting into the hands of teachers and staff, teachers and students alike, is called Mexikid. I don't have the author's name in front of me. I should have this research ready. It is a memoir, a comic book memoir, about a family that goes from Los Angeles to Mexico to go pick up the grandfather of this family. And the grandfather's had this amazing life. The book's set in the early 80s, I want to say. It is by Pedro Martin. And there we go, found the thing. It is an amazing story. It's a story about family. It's a story about endurance. This trip is ridiculous that they take. They go on this like Winnebago that is falling apart, and it's just really cool. I learned a ton about Mexican culture. I'd learned a ton about family dynamics of different religions. You're putting yourselves in the shoes, as books will do, of different people, and learning about how they've experienced life. Anyway, Mexikid, can't recommend it enough. So what is the library lesson thing that I was talking about with the comic books? It is really simple. I learned this from Helen Rutter, who wrote The Boy Who Made Everyone Laugh, which is an amazing story. It's really simple. So I just do I give them five comic book blank comic book panels, five boxes. Each panel represents a different thing. Box one's a main character. Box two is something the character wants or needs to achieve. Box three is someone or something that is trying to stop the character from getting what is in box two. Box four is someone who comes along and maybe helps the main character. It could be a sidekick or a thing, like a natural phenomenon that propels the story on and on. Box five is the outcome. Does the main character achieve what they wanted to achieve in box two? In my experience, they really love this kind of activity. They can draw it or they can write it. And I give them plenty of examples. I read a comic book recently called Wait Till Helen Comes. Apparently it's based on a book, one of these old classic kind of teen books out of the U.S. Never heard of it. It is a comic book, which I cannot recommend enough. Wait Till Helen Comes. It is super creepy. So his family moves into a new town, or a new house, new town, and they have like the brother and sister have a stepsister. The stepsister has experienced a horrible tragedy in which her mom has passed away in a really terrible way. And the stepsister is younger, and she hates her step-siblings, and she lies about them constantly, so they hate her in turn. And she lies about, like, she claims that they're bullying her, that they're doing things when they're not doing. And the father of the younger child believes his daughter. Therefore, he punishes his stepkids, and it puts a very big strain on the whole family because she's lying. And the daughter hears this stepchild talking to a grave in the back garden of this new house that they've bought in the middle of nowhere. She keeps talking to a grave, and then she threatens them. You know, the girl's like, "You're gonna just wait till Helen comes. This is gonna be, you know." And they find this abandoned house, and they slowly start to unravel the mystery of who Helen is and who this girl is talking to. Creepy as anything, but Halloween's already over. But I cannot recommend it enough. If you like Goosebumps and stuff like that, you'll love it. I'm watching the new Goosebumps TV show, by the way, and I think it's really cool. I don't know what people think of it. I don't know what reviews people might hate it, but I love it. Anyway, choice. I just talked about comic books. In library lessons, I want students to know that they have a choice, that they should be able to engage in a concept that is not my development, but a concept I've heard of called mirrors and windows. And it's very simple. They should be able to see themselves in the books that they read and gain understanding of what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes. And I talk about this already with Mexikid, and many other books, of course. Another one I read, Swim Team. The last name is Christmas, who wrote that book. I'm terrible with author names. You learn about segregation in the U.S., you learn about racism, how people experience it, and you learn about being yourself and, you know, taking a chance in something that terrifies you. This girl is terrified of swimming. She joins the swim team because there's no other clubs left, and her dad's kind of absent, her mom's not around, and she, you know, develops a friendship with this team, but it's a scary one. So because of her fear of swimming and things like that, so it's really good. But in library lessons, I want them to know the amount of choice that they have. So, and sometimes they might feel they have too much choice, and this is where the librarian should be there, should be swooping in and narrowing down that choice with almost like a little mini interview. You know, what are you in the mood for? You want something funny? You want something scary? You want some real life? Do you want any magic? Some students don't want any magic. They want, there's an author named Eve Ainsworth who has been to this school many times, and I'm very grateful for her visits. And she writes these amazing books about real life experiences, books like Crush, Tender, Damage. 7 Days was her first book about bullying. We have a constant rotation of students who want her books, and she's an amazing author, and everyone should listen to her. Well, that's all I have to say about that, really. When I find out a student wants a book, like, I just want like I want a book about something that is real life. I want a sad book, sir. I will give them Eve Ainsworth, or I'll show them Hollyborn, or I'll show them Paper Butterflies by Lisa Heathfield. These are really great books. And I ask them things like, "What are your favorite TV shows? You know, or what YouTube videos do you watch? Like, what do you like to do? What is your video game preference? What do you like for movies, music even?" I can, you know, I've been doing this 15 years now in total. I know I've been here 10 years, but 15 years working with teens. I can find them something based on these responses. But it helps me find a book. It helps me a lot when I'm looking for a book. And over time, you'll get a taste of, you'll know the taste of the different students. And it is fun. I love finding the books. That should be priority number one, really, getting them books. Library lesson. So break it up. This is my last piece of advice, really. Breaking it up is to break the lesson up into little chunks. I think that helps with my brain, really. I think it'd be boring if they just came, to be honest, and just read for an hour. There's nothing wrong with reading for an hour. You might think that is amazing, but not all kids' brains work like that. They don't enjoy that. I think if I was in, we never did that in my school. My school was garbage that I went to. Absolutely terrible. There was nothing like that. We didn't do anything. It was just a lot of shouting from my memory. Hated every second of that place. And I think if, however, I would, I think me as an 11-year-old would have liked to just sit and read for an hour. But I know that my head is not like everyone else's head. So there's some kids who can't focus that long, and that's fine. So I try to have like a fluid, kind of easygoing approach, but I break it up and I want to change things up on the move. I don't really recommend you doing that, to be honest. Having a plan is always a good idea, but a rough outline of a recent library lesson. So our library lessons are an hour long, and we did about 20 minutes. So we do about 20 minutes of reading on their own with me reading for 5 minutes. While this is happening, students in small groups of three or four are able to go out and look around the library to borrow new books, etc. And once I get everybody in this class gets a chance to do that, then it's like 5 minutes of me introducing an activity like the comic book drawing story, 5 minutes of me reading, promoting new books, maybe 10 minutes of students working on their groups on their story while I walk around to check in. And then I stop them, and then I ask them 5 minutes of getting them to share their stories. And then another few minutes of clearing up. So that really adds up to 45, 50 minutes. And then if we have 5 minutes at the end, more promoting of books, promoting of library activities. It's all very rough, of course, and this can all kind of change on a whim, but this is how I approach library lessons. Sometimes I have no idea what I'm going to do in a library lesson. And sometimes I don't think they need the kids' lives are so regimented and so structured, and every second is categorized. I think it's fun to just be like, why don't we just talk? The other day, I just had them discuss their greatest fears. Has your greatest fear changed from when you were very little to how old you are now? And we discussed it because I just watched It for the first time, the 2017 It, never watched it. Terrified me. And I just thought it'd be cool to talk about that kind of thing. What scares you the most? And it was just some interesting responses, to be perfectly honest. And I didn't make everybody speak. I just, if anybody wanted to. So those are the kinds of things that I discuss in library lessons. Now, if you are, I'm very lucky that we get to do library lessons, that we can do a library lesson once a every 2 weeks for ages 11, 12, and 13. That's year 7, 8, 9 here in the UK. The year 9 one is different, in which I what do I do? We read the same book together, and that's usually run by their English teacher more so. I get them started, but I don't really have, we don't do as many activities, if that makes sense. So we read a book right now, like Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds, which I love. I absolutely love that book, and it's a verse novel, and it's something that resonates with them. And in my opinion, kids who claim they hate reading tend to get hooked on it. The ending is always very controversial. I'm not going to spoil it. But it's something that is always a little controversial. And so that's how the year 9 one works. And when we finish it, we try to do some discussion or even like a little quiz on it. And then we will move on to another one. So we might do Moonrise by Sarah Crossan. We might do The Poet X by Elizabeth Acevedo. And, or we might do, sometimes we do, but it's usually a verse novel, which is. The reason, or we might do The Crossing by Manjit Mann, which I cannot recommend enough, winner of the Costa Book Award and a fantastic novel. the reason why we do verse novels are speed, really. But also, my aim is that it's to get students who don't read at all, they can say they've finished this book. And that's something. It's not nothing. and they can say they finished a book and had that kind of feeling of accomplishment as they go through. So my overall advice, if you are running a library lesson, is to break it up, to give them as much choice as you can, to fill it with comics and manga and promote those, and to read aloud and to give them the feeling that they have kind of ownership over the space. I'm constantly reminding them of this, reminding them of the different activities that are out there, and giving them the opportunity to speak their voice, have a say in how the library develops. We're doing the book award again this year, so they're voting on the long list, which is really fun. It's different things like that. It's not it's not rocket science, in my opinion, but it is very fun. I really enjoy having students in, and I enjoy the kind of having an audience and having them sitting there listening to me when I'm trying to tell them you should read this book, and it does make a difference. When I talked about Jennifer Killick's Crater Lake the other day, 6 copies went out, which we're lucky to have 6 copies on the shelf, but we do, and those books went out, and there you go. When I have a book like When I See Blue by Lily Bailey, which is an amazing novel, being very popular, it makes me very happy, because it's not a book you're going to see on the Tesco shelves. It's not a David Walliams mass-produced, whatever pile of crap he's produced recently. When I See Blue by Lily Bailey is a beautiful novel that everybody should read. And all the novels I've just mentioned, everybody should read, except for anything by David Walliams. But that's it. I mean, that's what I talk about in library lessons. That's how I run these library lessons. And I hope you get to do them. I hope they work for you. And that's it. Take care. Hope you enjoyed that. have a good one. See you on the next one. Bye.